I'm excited about today's topic because it's actually a topic I'm pretty sure you're very interested in. If you're part of our church family, you've actually invested a lot of time and money into the topic we're going to talk today. And if you're a guest with us, this is your big question. What's church supposed to be? And is it a place of life or is it a place of obligation? You know, if you know my story, you know that my family both was very blessed by church, but also very, very hurt by church. And that's because while we all want to be blessed by church and not hurt by church, all of us in this room, we actually are the church too. And so we're pretty imperfect people. And it strikes me that all of the funny stories I want to tell about church, I'm not sure I can tell them in church. It's just kind of that way. Like the time we were doing a water baptism and the young man got out of the water baptismal tank and just lost his shorts right there in front of the entire congregation. That's a rough moment. Or the moment when, for those of you who know, Pastor Wayne wanted to recite Psalm 150 about let everything that has breath praise the Lord and said, let everything that has breaths praise the Lord, right, for the entire congregation. So, yeah, there are just moments that happen in church that are a little odd. We want church to be a place of life, but church is kind of a little bit of a messed up place too because we're all figuring it out together. And in the end, I think we're all looking for a church that is what God wants it to be. But to be honest, a lot of us in this room can forget pretty easily what church is. Maybe we've been way too long or we've just seen a lot of poor models of church. And so we get to that point where we do church, but we don't know why we're doing church. And that's really the story of Haggai chapter 1, is a group of people who are supposed to be remembering what church is about, but honestly, they've forgotten. And church isn't all that important to them. God's house isn't all that important to them anymore. And it's a word that I think in the middle of 14 days of prayer is actually a place we need to remember to pray for the most, because as we're going to see, when we're living in what we're supposed to be as people meant to be in God's family, which means meant to be in God's house, everything else in life actually becomes what it should be as well. So we're in Haggai chapter 1. I'd use the New Living Translation, and so you can follow along with me. And after we read it, I'm just going to take a moment to give us a little background, make sure we understand the point, but then it's all going to be about what do we need to pray about, because we're part of answering what God wants the church to be. So just follow along with me. You see the little explanation of where we are in the scripture in Haggai 1. On August 29th of the second year of King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message from the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua the high priest. This is what God Almighty says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Yet I say, why are you living in well-built houses while my house, the temple, lies in ruins? This is what God Almighty says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much in your personal life, but have harvested little. You eat, but are not satisfied. You drink, but are still thirsty. You put on clothes, but cannot keep warm. Your income disappears as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what God Almighty says. Look at what's happening to you. And now go up into the hills, bring down wood, and build my house so that I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified as I should be, says the Lord. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor, and you brought your harvest home. I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says God Almighty, while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. Lord, we ask today that we would, that our eyes would be open to who we were created to be as part of being in your family, part of being in your house. And Lord, how that can fulfill your great plans for this world, but also answer the very prayers of our own hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to each one of us, and through us we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So here's the background, okay? This idea of God's house is all through the Bible. And it's the idea that it's an irreplaceable part of being part of God's family. Because if you think of your family, You think of a home usually, right? I mean, that's part of being a family is to have a home. Now, I thought I would impress all of you this morning by showing you this. That's a picture of me in the really cool red shorts a long time ago. Youch. Our leaders are about to have a generations party tonight. I'm going to come in that outfit. It's going to be pretty exciting. Lots of healing prayer will be needed after that. I'm the oldest of five. That's my family growing up. And this was the house I grew up in. Actually, I had a friend take a picture of it, just swung by there in good old Long Island, New York, where I'm from. And it looks a lot better now than it did back then. And, you know, when I think of growing up and I think of being a family, I think a lot about this house because that's where my memories were made. And that's where my mom and my dad did a lot of things that blessed us. It's where we cried a lot and laughed a lot. That front, on the tri-level, the window closest to the door, that's the one time my dad was standing pretty close to it, and my brother, we were throwing baseball, and my brother Seth had lost the ball and went to get it, and my grandfather was over, and my dad said, hey, I'll show you his arm. And my dad said, hey, throw it home, Seth, throw it home. And Seth threw it right into the window above my dad. And my grandpa looked over and said, you told him to throw it home. I mean, that's what you did. I mean, that's what he did. You threw it home, all right? I mean, it's a obedient kid. You know, I got a lot of memories in that home because part of being a family and part of thinking about me being a family and part of what I did and all, it was connected to a house. It was connected to that. And God feels the same way. You know, one day we all get to go home to heaven. That's our real home. But until then, God wants us to have a house, a home where we come together. It's not that it's got to be a big fancy building. It could be a little small something. It can even just be outside someplace. I mean, God's family doesn't need a building, but part of what God wants to do with a family is always to have a place, a home. And the interesting thing is, it's not just about us having a home, but it's about what that home can do for other people. Because in the story of the Bible, in Exodus 19, God, who is rescuing the people from Egypt, he's about to form his first family on earth after everything that's happened, the sin and everything that's messed up. And he says, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession. And although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, like a whole group of them, a whole nation of them, a holy nation. And that's because God didn't just create you to be part of a family, but he also created you to be his priest of his home. And we think of the word priest, and we think big, formal, and you know, maybe you've heard a little bit about what a priest did in the temple and tabernacle times. Pastor Brandon and Hannah shared the way we can pray through the tabernacle, which was God's first house among his people. But really, a priest, they're just hosts in God's house. That's what they are, all right? If I invite you over to my house, my family is the one who hosts you. I don't invite you over to my house and then, like, one of my neighbors is over there who you don't know. No, if you're coming to my house to be part of my family, then it's my family that hosts you because that's what family does. Our home is not just for us. It's actually supposed to be a place for people who need the love of a family and the help of a family and maybe just the encouragement of a family, right? And so when you think of the word priest, you probably think of this big, complicated, all these rules and rituals. It's not actually, just think of host, because that's what God's people were supposed to be. When God said, you're going to be my priest, what he was saying is, at my house, you're going to be the people who host everything else. And so the reason is because what God wanted to do was, since God created the whole world, and he started with the Jewish people, like they were the first people that were coming to be part of the family, he said from the very beginning, my plan isn't for just you to be part of my family. I'm coming to you first so that you can help welcome everybody else because I want a lot more family than that. And the scripture is filled with moments and scriptures that talk about the temple of God and the whole prophecy that one day all the nations will stream to it. And we look, and when we see the story, we just read through the Old Testament and the Bible Project. Congratulations, everybody. I mean, what a great moment. But we see God's people always struggling with that idea. It starts to be just about them, and it's just for us, and you can't come, and you can't be here. And yes, you have to come with a certain heart, but they've lost the heart of the Father of the house that wants everybody to come. A matter of fact, Isaiah 56, 6 through 7, that Jesus ends up quoting when he clears out the temple because he's really upset about what's happened to his house. He said, you guys have forgotten that even the outsiders, people who don't feel like they belong, one day they're going to come to my house and they're going to be a part of it, and it's going to be a house of prayer for all nations. And we need to remember that God's house is supposed to be a place, and I want you to think about this, where an unseen God can kind of be seen, right? Because there's this unseen God, and we kind of feel him sometimes, and there's something we feel drawn to him, and he created us to want to know him, but we can't see him, and we don't understand him, so where should we go? We should go to his house. And in his house that is visible, that is tangible, even though we're blinded by a lot of sin and pain in life, that house should help us remember who he is. And when we hear about his love and promises, it's his family that should help us say, oh, that's what that's like. Oh, that's what that's supposed to be like. But unfortunately, today, God's houses, the church, are often known more about what they're against and who they don't want in their house than the whole idea that everybody's supposed to be there. Because God created all these people, and we all got our stories, and we all got our struggles, and the places we don't know what to do with, and the places we're not sure who God is. Well, where should they go? They should go to God's house. And so we've got to remember that, because we love it here. We love our worship, and we love our times, and it's precious, and it's an important part of coming every Sunday. But there's a lot more to it than that. And in Haggai chapter 1, you just read it, right? What's going on? God's saying, hey, you've forgotten about my house. And you've forgotten that you're supposed to be part of it. You've become so busy handling your own stress, your own successes, and your own suffering that you've tried to figure it out on your own, and you've really gotten to the mentality that God's house isn't all that important anymore. And you've kind of given it your leftovers, if you're honest. You're working on your own house, trying to build your own life. But the truth is, until you start living how you were created to live, which was in the middle of God's house, in the middle of God's family, because you were meant to be a host to everybody else, nothing is going to quite go right in your life until you put the right piece together. Remember Pastor Anidra's great sermon last week, Pastor Anidra? Remember she talked about the whole order thing, that we got all these priorities in life, and we tend to stack them in a certain way, you know? You know, I got that job, and of course, whatever I got to do for the finances, and I really do care about my family, but there are all these people who need this stuff from my life, and somewhere in there, I got, and it's just, when we put the order the wrong way, what happens is things tend to fall apart in our lives. And we live in a world that says, on TV and the internet and all this, I can listen to enough Bible. I can listen to worship. I mean, there's 16 favorite Bible teachers I've got. And that's great. And it's meant to be a blessing. But what we sometimes forget is it still doesn't work without God's house. Because we've got to be a family. Because there's things we've got to work through. Because there are some things in my life that I can't see. I can't see how God's going to answer it, how the answer is going to come, and how victory. But in my family, someone else can help me walk through it. And so really, that's the whole message of Haggai, that nothing else works in your life when you don't remember who you are and where you should be. Some of our guys are at a big church softball tournament this weekend. Shout out to Anthony and Diane Wood. And, you know, Anthony plays third base. He's just a big wall, and just the ball comes at 90 miles, and it just hits him in the head. He picks him up and throws the guy out. You know, that's just what he does. And, you know, that team's not going to work if Anthony forgets that he's supposed to be playing third base, right? Just walks out and stands next to the pitcher while the guy's throwing it, you know, talking to him. It's like, hey, man, third base, bro. Get in your position. And it's just that game's not going to go well, and the team's not going to do well. And each of us here, we've got a part to play in God's house. We're actually created for this right here, because God's big picture is he wants to make sure There's a family in heaven that one day all the people who think they don't belong to his family, that they find out that they do. And that's what we exist to do. And so really, in Haggai 1:7-8, when I was reading this in the Bible Project, man, God just stopped me. And literally for like 48 hours, I could not get my mind off of this verse. God says to him, hey, would you look what's happening to you? You wish there's some things in your life, your family, your job, that you're just frustrated. You can't seem to get to the next level. Well, take a peek. Because what I need you to do is I need you to go up into the hills. I need you to bring down wood, build my house, and then I'll build your house. Build my house so that I will take pleasure in it and will be glorified as I should be. And man, I just, for 48 hours, I could not get off of this verse and what God was speaking to my life about our church and about who we should be. And so I want to offer three things that I think all of us should be praying about, praying that we would be as a church. And the first is this. All right, we're going to look at this whole idea of what a church needs. Like, Lord, what do we really need at Cornerstone and for all of our churches? What do we need to build? And what should we really love? Because sometimes we're not loving the right thing at church, okay? So here we go. The first thing that the one thing a church really needs, get this, is people who are in prayer and his presence outside of church services. Yeah, that's what a church really needs. Because when I read that verse, God said to me, hey, Sean, notice that going up to the hills is not the same thing as building the house. Those are two separate activities. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, to go up to a hill was to go up to the closest point to God. And it was the whole idea. That's why there are all these high places you read about. It was the whole idea that in that culture, the idea of going up to the hills was, that's where I can get closest to God. And really, what we should do as Christians is we don't need to come to the temple to be close to God, right? Because Jesus tore the curtain in two. We have access to the Holy Spirit at any time, what Jesus did. At any time, we can go up to the throne of grace and ask for what we need. We can go up to the hills anytime to meet with God. We can go there when we're in the middle of work and we stop. One of our elders, Sabrina, for our 14 days of prayer, she had a prayer meeting at the Y. Because you can do it there. Right? You could do it at work. You could do it at school. Like, we don't have to show up to the temple to get up into God's presence because that's what Jesus did for us. Because in the end, we're part of a family. We're part of his family. And so what we need to do is we need to recognize that because of Jesus and our church family, we can go anytime up. We can go up into his presence, into the hills, and get everything we need at any time. I mean, his word, boy, that's the wood of the spirit, right? That's what's solid and sure, and when life feels shaky, man, we just remember the promises of God. And we're right now in the middle of the Bible Project. You can jump in. We just started Matthew. We're on up to 5 and 6 today, right? You can jump into the Bible Project, get that word in your life, and you don't have to wait till Sundays to hear the word of God. Amen, Pastor Sean. Preach it. Okay. Prayer. We don't have to wait to come to church to pray, right? We can do that anytime. We're in 14 days of prayer. We've got days you can join us here, but the big goal is for you to pray outside of here. I just want to take some extra time to be with God. His people, the whole idea of small groups. We really got to get away from the idea that the only time I'm part of my church family is Sunday mornings. Because if we're going to host everybody else, then we probably have to get fed a little better throughout the week so we don't come like that family member who hasn't eaten, gets to the meal, and says, get out of my way, right? But some of us come to church that way. We haven't eaten all week long, and we're not thinking of anybody else but us, right? Because we're hangry, right? We're spiritually hangry. God bless you when you're hangry people. All right, Acts 2:42. It was every day. It was in their homes. And yeah, it was at the temple too. That was a great part too. And we've got to be that people. So here's what we should pray for. We've got to pray that we stop thinking, I have to wait to get fed or healed by God on Sundays. Can I get an amen? Amen. Somebody help me out, all right? Thank you. All right. Like, we don't have to wait to Sundays. We got to stop thinking that way because we're family. We're not customers. You know, we don't got to wait till the store's open. We can go anytime we want. We go up to the hills anytime we want. And we need to remember that. But if we feel like customers to God, dear God, I know I don't deserve this. I'm willing to pay a lot of money for this. I really need this in my life. Hey, Jesus, didn't we sing about Jesus paying it all? I mean, we're not customers. We're family. And I mean, I know there are different ways to do family, but we tend as parents to feed our kids every day, okay? We just think that's a good idea, to feed them every day, all right? So some of you are like, no, yeah, I'm going to start doing that, okay? Yeah, feed your kids every day. Well, guess what? I mean, the scripture is full of moments where Jesus, and I tell you, if you read Matthew 5 and 6 today, it was all about Jesus saying, our Father, your Father knows what you need. Your Father's going to take care of you. He knows what you need even before you ask it. No, you've got a Father. And you've got to stop looking at Christianity like religion, and you've got to look at it like for what it really is, a family. This is where we learn. We don't get it right a lot, but we're learning to do it right. And we've got to get out of this mindset that we're customers, and the place I buy what God wants to give me is Sunday mornings. Now, we got to move from that, because God wants to do more than that. And then it moves to this other idea that what the church should build. I mean, if we're going up to the mountains and we can do that anytime we want, now coming down is different, right? And this is to build the temple, to build God's house, because it had been laying in ruins. You saw that in the notes. We need worship services. Someone's got to say amen at the end of this. I'm just prepping you, okay? Worship services that God takes pleasure in. Amen. Like, God should actually be like, that's what I want, right? I mean, call me crazy. I think maybe in his house we should do it his way. We should do things that he cares about, right? Because when we go up to the mountain and we bring back, I mean, we got the word, we've got the spirit, we've been encouraged all week long, we've met, we've prayed together, people have reminded us of who we are and not to give up. Then we've come to our worship service. It should be all about what pleases him. Now, it absolutely pleases him that his family gets together. So you, as a Christian, are really, really important, because your Father loves for you to come and know him, not just as your individual Savior, but man, God's King. God's King of all of us. God's King of a lot of people that are a lot different. Like, God, you're a lot bigger than I am. That's when we come to church and we worship. We remember that, because most of us know that God cares for us, but we're in this little tiny world called us. And we only relate to God based on what we're thinking and what we're feeling, what we're needing, and where we're at. And it's just you're putting God in way too small of a box. He's a lot bigger than that. And when we come to church, and Pastor Sean talks about something you haven't even thought about lately, that's helping God get out of your box, because he's bigger than that. And when we come here, you're really important. But the last time I checked, he really, really cares about people who don't know him, who feel far away from him, that don't know that they're loved. A matter of fact, whether churches or the world have told them that God doesn't even care about them. And it was Leonard Sweet who said the quote, I've learned every day to finish my day asking, what did I do today that was worth Jesus dying for? Well, I think we should ask, what did we do in service today that was worth Jesus dying for? Because the lost is what he takes pleasure in. The loss is what he takes pleasures in. So we've got to pray about our attitude that says Sundays are about who? Me. You're part of it. I'm part of it. But it's a lot more than me. Because Jesus constantly talked about the person who had nobody. And last time I checked, a ton of his miracles weren't even in a synagogue or a religious place. They were where people were at. Luke 14, Jesus told the parable of the master was holding a great feast, and all the people who should come were too busy with business stuff and family stuff and all that, and the master said, fine, go out to the highways and the byways and just let everybody know, because people need to have the feast. My house will be full, because that's the Father's desire. And so we've got to remember that Sundays are not about what pleases me. But it can be really easy, right? I don't even like this song. I don't even like the person standing next to me. They're kind of scaring me. I don't know. I'm not even saying hi to them during greeting time. It's just like, I mean, it can become about us, right? And it's like, and, I mean, it's your house. So, I mean, it matters that you feel that way, but it can't be God. Because in the end, church is supposed to be a bridge, not a barrier to the lost. Have you ever thought about that? My son and I, we went sneaker shopping yesterday, and we're out in South Park. And I had to get some stuff at Party City for our leaders, little generation thing party going on tonight. You're going to laugh at me pretty big time tonight. And so we hopped over to the store right next door, which anybody see it's like a sneaker place, right? But it's not just like a sneaker place. It's like, it was like super in the hood rap, like place. It was loud and like all these people there. Caleb and I went over like, hi, how's it going? Yo. How's it? You know, it's just like, it was super intense. I mean, it was definitely one type of people they were shopping for, right? And we just, you know, we're like in, and like literally the DJ's right near, and he's doing his stuff, and I'm trying to look, okay, yeah. So we're trying to look around, and these are like new and used shoes and stuff, so it's like, I'm looking at a shoe, I don't even know what's going on around here anymore. And Caleb's just like, can we go? You know, can we go right now? And I would, but there are scared people near the door. Let's wait for them to move. And then we'll, yeah, I was just like, it was good. And in the end, then I ran into this one guy. We started talking. We had a blast in there. But like at first, it was like, I got no clue what's going on in here. Right? Well, there are a lot of people who feel like that way coming to church. Like I remember the time it was my sister-in-law. She said she was ushering at her church. And they had some kind of outreach, and some people who really didn't know church came. And afterwards, she was saying hi to me. I said, what'd you think? And she was like, oh, I love that, especially the karaoke. The karaoke was wonderful. Never thought about it that way before. There's words on the screen, and you're singing. Okay. I never thought about words. Like, literally, she didn't know what it was called. She was like, that was awesome karaoke. That was the best ever. I just, like... Yeah, so my daughter Rachel is interning at the Department of Mental Health here in Chesterfield, right? And the people there know she's a Christian, and so she's just an intern there. And this one supervisor said, "Rachel, can I talk to you for a moment?" After coming out of an assessment for someone who needed services, and Rachel's like, "Yeah, what's up?" She's like, "You're a Christian, right?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "Yeah, so I just had to assess the mental stability of a certain person. And she said a few things about religion, and I'm just wondering if they're normal or not." And she's like, "Okay, yeah, what?" She said, "This lady kept saying she was covered by the blood of the lamb." Literally, she was like, "Is that normal?" Well, think about it for a moment. If you've got no point of reference, what are you thinking about when that's heard? Right? And so Rachel's like, "Okay, yeah." She's actually like, "No, yeah, it's just like that's part." But what I want you to understand is, I mean, if God's house is about what pleases him, and he cares a lot about people who have no idea that this isn't karaoke, have no clue what the blood of the lamb is, then what do we do on Sunday mornings that's to make sure we help them? Because I'm getting fed every day anyway, right? I mean, I'm in his presence. I'm up in the hills having fun with him. And I'm coming on Sundays, and I'm not hangry. I'm well-fed, right? I'm seeing my friends, my family. And as I'm coming in, I'm wondering about the person who's like, what is going on, right? Now, we don't gotta change what it is, because that's why they're here. That's why we're here. But maybe we should think a little bit more about how a host would think when someone comes in. And maybe our greatest joy is not at the end of service when I get my prayer answered, which God cares about. Maybe my greatest joy is they got their prayer answered. Maybe they discovered that they're actually meant to be here. I mean, that's why diversity and the idea of not just one generation and the idea of man, we just want to make it everyday life is because there are people living everyday life. And the Father loves them. And so church should be a place where people who just can't see or understand God should feel like, well, you know what? I think I'm starting to get it. Like, Jesus is for everyone. Like, that's one of the important things about diversity is, like, when people come in here, it's like, is anybody here like me? Right? So, you know, part of what we've got to cherish and part of what we have to have a passion for is to make sure it's not just our cultural barriers up. It's like, man, just come. And he's the God of all of us. He's the one who loves us. Nothing's impossible for God. I know sometimes I read those answer prayers, and some are about healing, some are about family. Sometimes they're about finances, and like, well, Pastor John, is that a prosperity gospel thing or anything? Are you just trying to tell us pray and I get whatever money I want? No. I'm just trying to say, last time I checked, money was pretty important to people, and people feel a lot of stress about money, and sometimes they need to know God cares about that too. Like, God's in that too, right? He's the missing creator of their lives. It's not that good church is a good idea. It's that they were meant to be here because they were created to be part of God's family. And so we've got to remember that, and they just need to figure out that, hey, you can come here. You don't have to be my culture or be my generation or say it the way I say it, but you're welcome here because this is God's house. And what Jesus did for you is everything I'm about. All right, so it goes down to one last thing. It all boils down to this. You know what we should love doing as a church? We should love hosting people who have no idea who he is. Someone else want to say amen to that? Like, we should love that. That should be our, because we were created to be the host. That's what we're created to do. I'm supposed to play third base on the team. I should play third base. All right, I meant to do this because God says, I want you to go up the hills, I want you to get the wood, I want you to come down, build a house that I get pleased with. And by the way, I want it to glorify me. I want people who've never known me to know me. I want everybody in this world to know me. You're the start. You're the start, no matter how insignificant or like, I'm a host, but I got some issues. All right, you're still the host though, right? You're still the host. And what we want to do is we want to remember that in 1 Peter 2:9, it says of us, but you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Like, that's my job, is to help somebody else who doesn't know, like, hey, I've gotten out. There's some of you, I've shared one or two of you, I know you're in a room. I share, it's like, I know you're going through a rough time right now, but I'm telling you what, the way you're worshiping the Lord and you're following him, guess what? Some of being down there where you are is because there's somebody else down there. And God needs to send somebody to help them. And I know it's hard on you right now. And God cares about the tears you're shedding and how difficult it is. But I'm telling you what, God's going to be faithful to you. So while you're down there, don't just think about you. Look around. Because sometimes those doctor's reports and those difficult things are sending you to people who he cares about. And God's going to be faithful in your life. Just look around, because you're a priesthood, and God wants people in darkness to know the light you've got. Sometimes we reach the most people in our toughest spots. We just do. And God's going to be faithful. I just hear it. You're not going to get stuck there. But while you're there, see what God might have around you. So, I love this. I mentioned this. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads, country lanes, and by the way, notice the next words, make them come in. Right? Compel them. Man, I heard the other day, okay? Now, we've got a great church. We really do. We got a great church. We got a great church. But I heard someone complaining that we spent some money putting bounce houses out for kids on a Sunday morning so they could have fun. And I was like, not too many things get Pastor Sean angry, but that came close, all right? Because I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Spend a little money to let kids who, you know, their families want to come to church. And the whole idea that, I don't know, maybe it'll help them come to know their kids are going to have a good time. I don't know. There's an idea, you know? And really, the money you spend on your grandkids, and you're saying we can't spend a little money for kids who have never been here before? I mean, come on. Okay, I'm done. Smile. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I love all of you. Okay, moving on. All right, so we need to stop thinking that Sundays, all right, you ever hear this? Sundays are like the locker room in the middle of your week. We need to stop thinking like that. Sundays aren't a break from the world. They're supposed to be a bridge to the world. Like, now I'm saying keep it real, keep it what it's be, keep it deep, but there's no reason that we can't do that and at the same time host some people. And so we've got this, I mean, I don't know how many times growing up, it's like, yeah, now we're in the locker room and we're about to break and go back out to the world. It's like, hey, every day I'm up in the hills, getting what I need in the middle of the room. Sundays, man, I'm ready for Sundays because I'm a host not a guest. So that's part of what church membership is. The whole idea is like, hey, this is my family. I'm here, you know? And it's the heart that says, I want to be a host, all right? We love everybody. You don't got to be a member to be loved here. You really don't have to be a member to be feel part of the family. But the issue of, do you want to be a host? Do you want to actually help out? That's member. That's like, yeah, come on in there. Because we want to do this. Because last time I checked, I want you to hear this, because some of us are going, Pastor Sean, be careful. You know, we got to keep it holy. I totally agree with you. Last time I checked, a host gets fed just like the guest gets fed. It's just not focusing on getting fed. Right? I mean, a host has to have the meal too. They get to eat. But what are they doing? They're thinking about who's coming. Because sometimes someone comes like, you know, if we go down and eat Ethiopian food, there's going to be an Ethiopian wedding here this afternoon. I'm pumped. Sure. Okay, I'm ready. Man, you go eat Ethiopian food. Someone's like, where's the fork and the utensils? Someone needs to tell them, no, you just take this stuff with your hands and enjoy. Okay? Like, as a host, you're like, by the way, gluten-free, food-free, what do you need in your meal? I don't know what you need. Like, is this okay? Like, you're thinking about that stuff because you're the host. You know how good the food is. They have no idea, right? So you're thinking about that. Am I going to get fed? I'm going to get fed. I got to eat a meal too. Absolutely. But you know what? When I get fed and see someone else enjoy the meal, it becomes a joy to me to be in that meal. I'm not just grabbing a Big Mac and shoving it down and getting on, all right? I'm sitting down, and I'm experiencing a little bit of the kingdom of heaven, the banquet that's before us, right? And that's what we do. Priests exist to change people's eternities. And guess what? Everybody in this room, so do you. Because when you know Christ, that's your call to change people. So you come out on Sunday mornings, you know, it's not like, I can't wait to get fed. It's like, man, I've been eating all week. I'm looking forward to the meal too, but I'm looking around. Who else needs, you know, who can I bring? Let's have someone else come and enjoy the meal. So I think it all boils down to a few things to pray about. And, oh, by the way, healing service this Wednesday. Like, we can pray for healing every day. And if you're still in the middle of needing healing, come this Wednesday at 7. But as you leave today, you're going to get a card, a little business card, so you can give it to somebody else who needs healing. Because we read it today in Matthew 5. Jesus declared the kingdom of God and healed the sick. That's what he does so that people who don't see God and feel God can understand that he loves them. So you and I can be part of that. I pray that you will be a host as well as come for your own needs. All right, so three prayers that we can pray. And I want us just to finish up praying these things right now. First of all, God, change me to be a family member, not a customer. Some of us in this room, we might have even been to church we've been to church a long time, but we're still treating God like we're a customer. You're family. I mean, that's who you are. And today I would encourage you to just say a simple prayer in your heart. Say, Lord, I just want to forgive me for thinking I've got to earn you doing good things for me. The whole story of Jesus was he paid the price. It's all been purchased. It's all done. Now what I need, I just need to remember that you're my Father. And I need to remember that I'm not just going to eat once a week. I can do that every day. And part of what we're here for is if it's intimidating you to start reading the Bible or have someone to pray with, I mean, there's going to be small groups coming up, and they're just simple things you can do. But you're family, okay? You're not a customer. You're family. And that's a prayer some of us need to pray in this room today. Lord, it's what's born again, right? It's just like, God, just help me have a new life in you, okay? Next one, I'm not sure why that's doing that. Do we know why that's doing that? All right. Man, can you imagine if we all prayed this prayer right here? Let our church be a bridge and not a barrier for the cross of Jesus Christ. Anybody want to pray that with me this morning? Man, somebody? Okay, three of us. Yes. We're going to totally pray that. And then the last one, grow me to be a host, not a guest on Sunday mornings. Man, Sunday should be the moment you're like, I cannot wait to see what's going to happen today. This is going to be awesome. Can't wait to get to the meal, see who enjoys it, see who's loving it. Like, that's our prayer. So I want us to just finish here, okay? Let God speak to your heart today. Some of us, we need, this is your day, okay? I mean, you're a good person. You're thinking about God all the time, but you need to become part of the family. And all you got to do is say, Jesus, I recognize what you did for me on the cross. You paid for it all. And God, I don't know exactly how to live this out, but I would like to learn. I just like for you to come. Like, you do the hard work. I'm just going to say yes. You can do that today. It's just faith. That's all you got to do is have faith. Some of us in this room, we got to really pray this. Oh, Lord, come on. Lord, let us be a bridge. This is your house. Why wouldn't people be welcome to it? And then last, Lord, you're going to have to grow me some, because I'm used to thinking about church one way. And I want to be a host. So I'm just going to ask right now, let's just pray. Would you take a moment, whichever one you need to pray for today?